On today's show, we are chatting with Megan about her journey from being sick and tired to living life on her terms.
Hi, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Margaret.
And we're your hosts of the Dear Future Self podcast, where I help you heal your heart and master your mind.
And I help you create more time and money freedom by helping you uncover and heal your money blocks.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode.
Woo, woo, woo.
We have a guest speaker.
Yes, so excited.
Oh, my gosh. So, and who is it?
No. Why don't you tell him, Jenny? You know Megan pretty well.
Oh, my. I just said her maiden name. I'm sorry. Her maiden name. Megan Emily. I am so... Well, you know, I'm sorry. You're like a child. You're like one of my own. So, you know, I'm just, whoops. Yep. There's a little blooper there. That's okay. Megan, so, you know, we laugh, we joke, we are like whatever here and whatever flows and there is no mistakes. You know, it's all just fun and games. But Megan, I'm so excited to have you on today because I am very, very blessed that I got to be a part of your journey. And I moved into our neighborhood back in 2004, and shortly after that, I met you, and you were so young, and that's why I say you were like one of my children, and really got to see you go through this journey of like the ugly to where you are now. I mean, it was, again, like we say, like hell and back, and I literally got to witness that, which is why I wanted to have you on today, because you have a huge story. And the thing is, the beautiful thing about this is, I don't like using age, but where you are right now and where I am right now, I'm like, gosh, I wish I had this knowledge at that age, because my life might have been, well, would have been completely different. But this is why we share these episodes and we come and teach and help people out, because your life doesn't have to suck.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And just to add to that, Megan is a new mama too. So she has a whole new gamut of life to interject into her existing situation and maneuver and learn about. So as Jenny said, it's been really cool to watch Megan transform, because I've known her for a long time too. And that was through Jenny. But I mean, like, I feel like at least close to a decade at this point almost. Mm-hmm. And like Jenny said, it's so cool to see someone that is Megan's age transform and utilize all these tools and techniques, because here we are. I mean, like, Jenny's old. She's in her fucking 50s. Okay. I'm only
My
47.
My so. I am 21, people. 21. You want to call that old? Whatever.
But well, okay, tangent. I was with my son the other day and I forget what it was, but they asked, I was at Costco, and she was like, I'm not gonna card you for, because I was getting alcohol, I'm not gonna card you. And I was like, it's okay, I'm almost 50. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, usually, you know, you round down. I'm like, I rounded up. I'm like, oh, my son's like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? Anyway, tangent. How about we let Megan say hello? Because we're just like blabbity blabbity blah blah blah. Megan, welcome to the Dear Future Self podcast and our world. Surprise, surprise, but you're really not.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty used to your world here. So this is just a normal everyday conversation with us. But yeah, you know, usually I don't say age is a number either. Like, life is just about spirits and souls. And that's why could be so close friends with you guys. And my 30th birthday is this month. Woohoo! So this whole month's about me. Sorry. But in regards to this story and
not
journey,
working. Sorry, I was throwing up a peace sign like a crazy maniac, and that's because Zoom has visual sensors. When you throw up a peace sign, balloons will come up. But It's not enabled on mine. So when Megan was like, "Woo, it's my birthday," I was like, "Peace sign, balloons, balloons." It would have been really cool, and they would have been like, "Whoa." Anyway, sorry, interruption once again, squirrels.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm not really sure where I should start again. Okay, so in regards to why like becoming 30 is so big and in my journey in general, is just because I do have a podcast and it's called Life's Too Long. And I feel like it's important to start your journey, whatever it is, what you're looking to do, as soon as possible, because people say life is too short. But in reality, when it comes to building up a goal, life can be really long and you have to use it in a beneficial way. So I do like talking about my journey because people need to use their time wisely in regards to creating who they are. So do I feel young sometimes? Yes. Do I feel old sometimes? Yes. Do I feel like I have like no age at all the time? But when I decided to change my life and go from just being completely sick and tired all the time and not really wanting to live to creating habits and changing the things that I disliked so much, now I just am so excited for the life ahead of me. And that's why I'm so happy, because I have so much time ahead of me. And this is where I kind of come from. Like, if you start as soon as possible, then you have so much life ahead of you, and it's going to feel longer than, oh, well, life's so short if you're not enjoying it. So that's where I come from.
Here's the thing I really want to throw out there is, like, you just said, like, I have a long time ahead of me. But we don't know that for all of us. And this is why this is very important, because tomorrow is never promised. This is why we do what we do. So we could say, like, what are you waiting for? What are you, stop waiting for tomorrow, because a lot of people don't have tomorrow. So let's do this, you know? So Megan, let's just go back. Like, I want you to share your journey about where you were before your transformation, before you went on this beautiful, amazing journey. Where were you? What were you going through? Like, what did you experience before now?
Sure. Yeah. So honestly, still sick and tired is something that I feel like completely describes how I used to feel. I was severely crippled by my anxiety to the point that I wouldn't get out of bed some days, or I'd sleep so bad that I'd get like knots in my hair. But because I was just feeling so anxious, I didn't want to even comb them out. So that would go on for days. Anything that felt like a simple task would just completely give me heart palpitations, and I felt like I couldn't breathe. Like, I wouldn't do the dishes because I was feeling anxious about it, but then they'd pile up and that would create more anxiety. And along the lines with that, I didn't know how to handle my emotions correctly. So since I was feeling so anxious about things in my life, I coped with that with binge eating. It was something that was just kind of introduced to me young, that when you're feeling an emotion, you should eat food, and it kind of cures it temporarily. But since I was constantly feeling so anxious and uncomfortable with my life, I was constantly eating. And that cycled even more, because then I was getting anxious about how much I was eating and how much weight I was gaining. So I started my like mental health and spiritual journey before my physical health journey, but at my heaviest, I was almost reaching 300 pounds. And I had minor sleep apnea. And the scariest thing was when my doctor not only diagnosed this, the actual medical diagnosis said sleep apnea caused by extreme morbid obesity. And those three words together are just absolutely terrifying together. And not only that, I was not even 27 years old. So to get like a diagnosis of that, and I'm only in a quarter of my life, it was like, who even wants to hear those three words together? But to hear it even then, I had that thought of, wow, if I keep going down this path, I'm only through a quarter of my life. I'm probably only going to make it through half of my life by my own cause. Where, you know, things can happen, but I was physically causing a premature death with myself. Everything was just harder because of my anxiety and my weight. just walking up the stairs made me out of breath. Everywhere I went, I was constantly worried, like, am I going to break this chair I'm sitting in? Or when do I get to sit? And I was constantly thinking about when I can eat.
So real quick, I want to jump in.
Yeah.
When you got that diagnosis, when you read that,
yeah,
would you say that that was a turning point for you? Or would you say that was just more of like the shocking, you know, experience of seeing that, but yet the anxiety and everything else that was kind of holding you captive continued to hold you captive still?
Yeah, sure. I think I will kind of cycle back to where all that starts. I'll get there. Yeah. So sorry, let me get my retrain of thought. I have squirrel brain too, especially being a new mom. It's like, so along with just feeling super sick and not fully enjoying my life, I wanted to find something to kind of help me cure it. Now, necessarily is things like anxiety completely curable? I wouldn't say so. It is something that can kind of happen throughout life, but I was tired of my life being put on pause because of an emotion I was feeling. And I can't really remember exactly how it came into my life. I honestly think it was Jenny who started offering me like essential oils or something along that lines, which then got me thinking like, oh, okay, so smells kind of triggers this happy hormone in your brain that might be able to help you cope with something better. So I started getting curious about things that might be able to help my brain feel better, at least around anxiety, because I knew a lot of this cycled back to I was feeling anxious about my life. So I looked into therapy, which I couldn't afford at the time, because another thing I was struggling with was money. And that also stemmed from anxiety. I ate and I spent when I felt anxious. And sometimes the spending was to eat and sometimes it was just unnecessary. So I was extremely out of shape, very heavy. I was extremely anxious and I was extremely broke. Like I just spent money I didn't have and I continued to keep doing that. So I couldn't afford therapy at the time, but then meditation came up. And I think that was, again, when I started looking into oils, it just kind of branched into other things. And I decided, I think I need to just sit in silence. Because when you have a very anxious brain, there is no such thing as silence. And I've learned that people actually can sit quietly and not have thoughts constantly going through their head. And I was like, well, I don't know how I can attempt that, but I want to try. And I started with just a quick, like 10-minute meditation every day. And that was kind of the start of my spiritual journey and the journey of creating myself, because I started to fix my mental health. Once I started to feel a little bit better about that, I got more dedicated with working out because I wanted to fix my physical health too, knowing that, again, these three branches, mental, emotional, and physical kind of tie into each other. And I started working out almost daily. I tried to change my nutrition, but with anxiety, I always kind of cycled backwards and go back to the eating and the spending. But once I started to meditate and slow down my thought process, I had a lot of realizations, and that's when I realized all boils down to my anxiety. So even when I got like this health diagnosis of being, you know, extremely morbidly obese and I had sleep apnea, I also was pre-diabetic and my uncle had passed away at a really young age due to sleep apnea too. It was almost a turning point for me, but I still kind of had this three-dimensional brain of, well, it's not me. I'm doing everything I can to change it. And there must be something like physically wrong with me. So I did this sleep test to try to find out why I was gaining so much weight instead of just acknowledging the fact that it was most likely me and the habits I was doing, I wanted a medical diagnosis to let me know, like, oh, this is why you keep gaining weight, and this is why you're anxious. So I had my thyroid tested because I just couldn't figure out why I was so anxious and why I just kept gaining weight. I wanted to say I had PCOS, but they were like, there's a possibility, but we can't really give you a diagnosis with that. So I thought maybe with my sleeping, but it turns out my bad sleep was caused by my weight. It wasn't bad sleep causing the weight gain. And so I still kind of ventured out a little bit farther trying to figure out, like, oh, well, what is health-wise wrong with me causing all my problems, instead of just acknowledging that I was the problem. And I went on for about another year, and then I just finally got, like, so sick and tired of everything, because I felt like I was doing everything at that point to my knowledge. Started meditating, started getting into other, like, spiritual work, like crystals, and it opened up my mind to realizing that it was my mind slowing me down. And once I stopped thinking so much about my environment and everything going on with me, I kind of was able to in tune with myself and realize that it was me causing these things. And once I slowed down my mind, I was able to see, like, the anxiety was the environment I was putting myself into. And I would kind of be able to underlie why I was feeling those emotions at that moment. And that rolls into each other, because then I realized, because I feel anxious or excited or sad or bored, I eat. So it helped a little bit with my binge eating. Because I sometimes could resort backwards and, like, either meditate and slow down, but I still realized that I was now in this super lifelong habit of something I've been doing for 20 plus years, because family eating was brought into me very, very young, like overeating.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah.
When you were in that place of that mess, right? Mm-hmm. How were your relationships?
So another branch of the anxiety and sadness is my relationships were not healthy whatsoever, family-wise, friendship-wise, and especially romantically. Prior to my, like, true, like, spiritual mind-body shift, I was very angry at my family, and I blamed them for all my problems. Friend-wise, like, that's where I did lean a lot, but I was actually in multiple emotionally abusive relationships that, because I was under so much control and jealousy, I pulled away from my friends because all I wanted to do was people please. And I put all my people pleasing efforts into the relationships I was in. So because I didn't feel like I had any value and self-worth due to where I was standing and who I was, I did not date in a positive way. And I was with people who kind of kept confirming that. Instead of confirming that I was wrong about how I felt about myself, I was with someone who made me feel even more unworthy.
So I want to jump in and just point out to our listeners, because we talk about this a lot, which is self-concept, which is the world, you and the world pushed out, right? Which is the world reflecting to you how you really are inside, how you really feel inside. And this mm-hmm. is such a perfect example for that. The world was reflecting to Megan how she was truly feeling on the inside, which was, you know, not having self-worth. And I'm sure most of us have gone through, you know, situations where we've people pleased and got in return what we truly believed on the inside. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, of course. And that was one of the things that I came to have a realization. So when I started the spiritual journey was when I was finally out of these toxic relationships, because I finally had enough of that. I realized that I was surrounding myself around people who didn't make me feel good. So that was kind of the first step of my journey, was I knew I had trouble making myself feel good, but how could I even start if everyone around me told me I didn't have any reason to feel better about myself? So by being in those emotionally abusive relationships where I was constantly cheated on and told, I was told I was fat. I was told I was dumb. I was a stupid blonde. I wouldn't find anyone else better than them. And I didn't deserve to have friends. I was only allowed to have them in my life. I realized that I didn't deserve to have these put into my head. I already put it into my head enough on my own that I didn't want confirmation additional. So when I finally stepped out of those relationships, that was my last straw. Was I was so tired of hating myself, but I was so tired of feeling like I was supposed to hate myself. So I know it's hard for people to see that in the moment. I mean, it took me about almost 7 years of being in bad relationships to see the kind of people I was dating. But when, I mean, I'm going to kind of resort back to like the baseline of my podcast. When you actually take a step back, even though you don't know when your last day is going to be, if you just take an estimate and say the last day of my life is when I'm 100. And if you really sat where you are right now, can you imagine like that length of your life to 100 being in the situation you're in? And I did that. I was like, do I really want to be like in love with people like this for my whole life? Like, and it doesn't even matter if you had 10 years of your life or even a year left of your life. Would you want to be with someone for a year of your another year of your life if you had a choice to just be told that you're worthless? I didn't want to do that anymore, because in my head at that time I had 80 years left, and that's an extremely long time to be miserable with who I'm around. So I guess that was kind of the pinnacle of when this all started to change, and kind of correct my anxiety. And then I realized I was picking the people I was around because of how I felt mentally. And then I went into the spiritual journey to kind of correct that. And once I started to pick up on all these little things and slow down my mental health and realize that I am the problem, like I'm the one causing my problems. Instead of trying to find a doctor to give me a medical diagnosis as to why my body was doing what it was doing, I just took full control of it. And I realized for me personally, working out and trying to change my diet just wasn't working. Like I didn't want to spend my whole life yo-yoing. And anyone who's been in a yo-yo kind of knows that if you don't really figure it out, when you start to gain weight back in that round of the yo-yo, you gain more than you started with. And then it kept piling on. And for me, it piled on really heavily. And that's why I was at almost 300 pounds, because I would lose it all. But then the next time around, I would gain 10 extra pounds beyond where I was. And I didn't want to keep doing that forever, because at that rate, I'd be on my 600 pound life when I'm in my 40s, and I didn't want to be there. So I started looking to other alternate options. And that's when I discovered, I'd already knew of it, but weight loss surgery. And I knew for me, that was just the route I had to go. When you go into like the spiritual side and start connecting to your inner self and your mind, you kind of get these ideas given to you and confirmations as to if you should move forward with things. So I did sit on it for about a year or two, even though it's something I thought about for years. But back then I thought about it as, this is just going to fix me. And when it comes to talking about weight loss surgery and anyone who's interested, it's not something that fixes you. It's only a tool. It's a tool like anything else that you would use to try to help you through your life. But none of these things are just going to fix you. Like, you still have to do work. So I'm glad that I decided to move forward with surgery when I did, because I had worked on my mental health enough to realize that it's only a tool. Like, nothing's going to fix me. I have to want to fix myself. So I did move forward with weight loss surgery, and I did end up losing my weight. But because I wasn't so held up on, this is going to fix me, I don't have to do any work, I worked really hard and learned everything I could about the tool and how it was going to work for me. And I ate and followed the guidelines. I continued to keep working out. I watched what I was doing. I didn't just think, oh, they're going to cut half my stomach off and like all this weight's going to fall off. And that's the problem, that if you've heard of someone who has weight loss surgery, or at least when I said I was applying for weight loss surgery, I had a lot of people who turned around and said like, oh, but I know someone who failed. And for me, it was because those people didn't view it as a tool, just like anything in life. They just thought, oh, it's going to fix me and I'm going to be happy. And I started with already starting to be happier with my life, and then realizing that this is a tool to help me get further and live longer.
I think it's important to point out, although you've said it, but I want to just reiterate it. One of the main reasons for this is because you already did a lot of the mindset work.
Right.
That is the only way to get through this. This is the same thing as lottery winners that lose all their millions within like a couple of years. It's because their mindset is just fucking not there and they don't know how to handle it. So they're like, oh, easy pill. And then it goes away, right? So yeah, so important to mention that. And I'm glad you talk about that, because yeah.
You know, I think the doctors, well, not I think, I know the doctors and nurses had commented to Megan, because when she was, I've been on this journey with her, all of that. I think the hardest part for me was to see you going through that. And this kind of chokes me up a little bit. It kind of gives me tears and a little emotion, because we are so close. And to see you struggling from that, knowing, you know, I went on my weight loss journey and I was almost 200 pounds and I did it and whatever, but like, you know, whatever way I did, and I tried to help you. And I was like, here's the tools. Like I did that. Da, da, da. And seeing you go up and down and up and down, I felt like a failure as a parent because I couldn't help you. And so it was really, that was tough for me. I'm not going to lie. But I knew that on the journey of this, you know, our spiritual path, that I was like, this is her journey. You cannot save the world. You could try to help them, but this is not your journey. This, stop taking it so personal. This is her journey. And that's where I had to step back and go, she's got this, and believe. So I just want to throw that in there. But the most beautiful thing was that when you did decide to go through this, hearing what the nurses and the doctors said about you, they were so blown away by you in the hospital, your mindset, your will, your drive, getting out of bed immediately, wanting to walk, do this, do your mindset was so powerful already, that is why you're winning at this also, because they were just like, oh my gosh. And you were actually coaching them while you were in there and teaching them. And I think that was so powerful and so beautiful, because you all had already gone on the self-help journey along with the spiritual journey, all of that. Like we always talk about 3D, 4D, 5D, and you have, you know, gotten to the 5D, but then you also brought in that 4D work, which is, you know, the self, the mindset, all of that, the personal growth. And so that was beautiful, and why I believe that you succeeded also.
Yeah, I mean, what it all boils down to, and the message that I hope I get across, is Jenny offered every tool probably in the book that she's ever experienced in her whole life to me. And for probably the first 10 years of it, I thought they would just fix me. Like I was like, okay, I'll purchase whatever you're offering, or I'll listen to whatever you're offering. And tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be cured. I'm going to have the life of my dreams. But once you start actually doing some mental work and some personal development, and like truly actually read those books and apply what they're telling you, or when you sit down and you meditate, you truly listen to the messages that you're receiving, and you actually sit and think about your life and keep going backwards and backwards as to why maybe that happened, and everything happens for you, not to you. It's to help you and realize maybe you're living in a victim mindset. I was in this victim mindset. I was like, something's always wrong. It's not me. It's everything else going on around me. So anytime that Jenny offered multiple tools to me. So it would be like books or some like health program. I thought if I just purchased it, I'm fixed. And that's not how it works. Everything offered to you is a tool in your life, but you have to choose to use that tool to learn it. So with spirituality, I just didn't think that if I sat down for 10 minutes and like sat in silence that I would feel better. I had to keep learning more into that process. And I started researching how to further that. With weight loss surgery, I didn't just think they're going to cut me open and I'm going to lose my weight. I did my research as to how to further make that progress better and make sure that it lasts for the lifetime. So I looked into that, and those were the things that I did in the hospital. And from then on, like, I found out you're in less pain if you start walking right away. You'll lose weight better if you watch your protein intake over just relying on the restriction, because even with that, that changes too. So I knew I had to use the tool when it's at its best, because eventually I can eat almost like a normal person. So it's not going to just stop my binge eating for me. I had to stop the binge eating. So I used it as a tool to learn how and take a step back out of that mentality where I had some freedom of not wanting to eat every second of my life, to learn how to build that into my lifestyle. So that way, when the restriction started to let up a little bit, I wasn't still binge eating. And I also took that time out of not wanting to eat all the time or physically not being able to practice and learn more of why I ate in the first place. And it was a big eye opener for me, because since I literally, for those first couple months, you can't eat much at all. There's like no possible way while you're healing. I realized that if I was sitting at home with nothing to do to keep my time entertained, that's when I drove and went and ate fast food. Was literally out of boredom to fill my time. So I was like, well, now I need to figure out what to do with this time instead. And it was like a lesson for me. But instead of just waiting until I could eat again, I was like, I'm going to learn new things and find new enjoyments in life so I can.
Why do you think, and maybe you didn't go down this path, maybe you did, why do you think you felt like you needed to fill that time? Do you think it was, there was something within you that was afraid of like being alone, doing nothing, or like, you know, cause sometimes I know that's happened to me where I'm like, eh, shit, I don't want to be by myself right now and deal with these thoughts. So I'm going to go call my friend and go over there, you know, and just ignore whatever I'm supposed to deal with.
Right. I mean, yeah, I was definitely ignoring things. Like, it's why I think for so long I even avoided meditating. Like, I did not want to know why I did all these things, why I hated being alone with my thoughts. It's because I knew that they were the problem. So I definitely not, it's like people pleasing, but it's also like people pleasing for myself too. I felt like if I sat and did nothing, that I'm putting in that thought back in my head that I am unworthy and I'm lazy and I'm not worth anything. So I always felt like I needed to be doing something, because if I just sat on the couch, then I was wasting my life and I'm lazy and I'm the problem. And so was it the best choice of how to fill that time? No. And once I kind of went back into my mentality and realized that that stemmed from, because when you take the time to really learn yourself, you realize it kind of stems from somewhere. When I backtracked super far, it stemmed back to my childhood, where I felt like I was a failure if I didn't succeed in something. I felt like I was a failure if I wasn't doing something at all times. Like, I felt like I always needed to be doing something, fixing something, taking care of someone. So if I was sitting there doing nothing, I didn't feel like I had any value because I had no one to fulfill in that moment. And now I realize that that's not true at all. And like, anyone is allowed to choose to sit back and relax, like, best form of self-care. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, this is why it's so important. And for those of you that are listening to this, this is why we're so passionate about doing this work. It's not fucking easy work. It is not a walk in a park. Like I said, sometimes you know you're supposed to be sitting there with your thoughts, yet you're like, beep, boop, boop, beep. Hey, girl, I'm going to come over, you know? Like, you avoid it because you're so fucking scared about sitting there with your thoughts and whatever's going to come up. But this is the work. This is the work. So no one's going to do it for you. You got to take accountability and responsibility. And this is exactly what Megan had to do. And she fucking did it. And we are so proud of her for that.
Or as Margaret would do, she'd pop on a movie and go get dried spaghetti and sit there and eat it and sap like a romance movie or whatever. And that was her way of escaping, was a damn dry pasta. And then she'd wake up the next day looking like she was pregnant. And this is no joke. This is like truth.
Yes. But
like, that's what she was going through.
Gluten sensitivity. So pasta does not, you know, go well with that.
Yeah. I know because I was hurting, and even hurting from those thoughts of what I felt like being alone, I think I binge ate to feel a different kind of hurt. Like it's a different form of self-harm, at least how I did it. Sometimes I did it out of enjoyment, but I would eat until like it hurt. And I think then I felt like, oh, this is why I'm hurting. This is why I'm sad. It's the food I ate. It's not anything to do with me. And I didn't want to take that time to figure out why I was hurting, why I was miserable and sad. So it is hard work. Like we call it shadow work in the world, or at least in my spiritual world where I ended up researching and studying and learning, it's called shadow work. You have to face your shadow. It's like the darkest part of you. It's a part you don't want to, but you got to become its friend. Otherwise you can't move forward with life because it's always there. No matter where you go, there's shadows. You can't avoid it, and it's literally attached to you. So you have to become its friend. So I realized there's light and dark in life, but until I acknowledge the darkness in my life, I can't even appreciate the light in my life because there's no opposites. It's just like you can't live in unicorns or rainbows at all times. You have to acknowledge both parts.
You learn to love the onion, as if some people don't know what shadow work is. It literally is like peeling the way of an onion layer by layer. And sometimes that onion's going to fucking make you cry and you're going to hate that onion for a while. Then you cook with the onion. You actually like the onion. You know, you have this love-hate relationship with an onion till you get to the core.
Yeah.
That is where the beauty of it is.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, when we talk about contrasting things like light and darkness, and when we just think about contrast itself, like the beauty about contrast is about that darkness is it also shows you what maybe you don't like, you don't want, right? You learn from that so that you do know what you want. Because how are you going to know one without the other? It's yin yang, right? They play together. They belong together. And this is where embracing the whole thing is, and peeling the onion or untangling the spaghetti or however you want to phrase it. But shadow work is.
Yeah, but untangling the spaghetti wouldn't make me cry.
You don't need to fucking cry always. You and your fucking crying. You want to make everybody cry. She's Johnny. You're sounding like a bully. Stop bullying people, man.
She likes to crack people open. It's her favorite.
I do. I like to get to the core.
You know, we're playing.
I would have fun with the spaghetti is what I'm saying. I'm like, that does untangling spaghetti would be fun. Like, I'd be like, a challenge.
Well, it's therapeutic, you know, like untangling threads sometimes where you're like, or like the chain that gets all tangled and you're like, I can fucking do this. And even though you're like, there, you're like, damn, this motherfucking thing. Excuse my language today. But, well, see, I'd sit there with a needle. I'd be like, I got this. God. I feel like Megan would do that too. She'd be like, I can freaking get this damn chain.
I'll be like, Taylor, here, do this for me. I can't. And can't do that. Anyways,
yeah. No. It's all part of life. But I realized along the lines of all this darkness and shadow and surrounding myself with it, that's why, because I couldn't acknowledge it, that's why I was miserable. And besides like weight loss, and I just know that's something very common for everyone, but it's completely changed like all aspects of my life, because at the time I was like, why am I always second place when it comes to men? Or, you know, and this can be in anyone's situation romantically. why am I always second? And I kept dating people that made me second. Like, why am I being cheated on? Because all I was loyal and I loved with so much passion, to the point, like at a fault, where I started changing who I was to please these people, because I thought maybe it's just who I am. But when I started to do shadow work, I realized I was raised to be a people pleaser, and that I was told, like, I need to make everyone else happy and disregard how I felt. And that's when I realized, like, now I'm going to swear, but like, fuck that shit. Like, I want someone to love me. Like, I don't want to fake who I am anymore. I don't want to change who I am anymore. If they can't see my value, like, if they don't think I'm first place, then I'm not supposed to be with that person. I'm wasting my time being with someone who doesn't see my worth. And then that's fine. Not everyone's going to see your worth. When I did the work, I realized that I cannot people please everyone. There is going to be people that I'm not their cup of tea. But if you think back to yourself, if you're a people pleaser, there's people that you don't like. Like, let's be honest. There's people, maybe you don't hate them, but there's people you don't want to be around. There's people that you just don't really click with. So how can you say that for yourself, but not think that in how you react to others, that you're going to please everyone? It's just not possible, and it's not supposed to be possible. So I come to realize that if this person doesn't see me as their priority in their life, then that's not supposed to be my person, and I can't make them be my person. Their loss is what I finally boiled down to. It's like, it's their loss, but that's okay. I want to let that go and move on. And when I finally did that, now I can confidently say I'm in the best relationship of my life. Like, yeah, my husband's completely incredible, and we're such a power team. But if I never ditched that belief that, oh, it's really, I'm just not pleasing them enough, I can fix it. That once I let that go and realize I'm going to wait until that person who sees me for being the best version of me and who I am, he came. He literally just popped out of nowhere too. It wasn't when I was looking. It was literally when I said, I am done. I am done, like, pleasing people. They're going to come to me. And that's the wildest thing. If you ask someone and you, like, you kind of like their relationship and you're like, oh, how'd you meet them? They always say, oh, they kind of came out of nowhere. And it's usually when those people say, I'm done.
This is the example. Once again, self-concept. What you did there, you're like, I am the fucking priority. I am putting myself on the pedestal, not every fucking body else, me, because I deserve to be on that pedestal because I am the priority. And then that reflected into the world, Megan as a priority. And that reflection brought in the equivalent individuals. Fucking love it. That's how it's supposed to work, people.
Yeah, it's amazing from where you were to where you are today. And I would love for you to speak about that. Like, where are you currently? Because obviously you dropped the little thing there and said, I'm married. Well, like, you know, so yes, a lot of you don't know Megan. And yes, so now, like, let's talk about where you are currently.
Sure. Yeah. So just to kind of like recap, I used to be chronically people pleasing, super sick from my anxiety, reaching 300 pounds. So I was physically very sick too. And I touched a little bit on, I was really bad with my money, and I felt like I was living paycheck to paycheck, to the point that I was skipping bills, and we had our lights threatened to be turned off all the time. And I just felt broke. And all of those, I can pretty much confidently say, are the complete opposite now. Once I started doing this work and realizing that I was worth more than I was putting out there, things started to come back to me. And then when I started using the tools that life kept offering to me, I learned further on how to increase those things. And so, yes, now I am married, and he is absolutely incredible. We had our own little journey together. And I give full credit to the fact that I already started my mental health and spiritual journey as to why we built each other up, because he wasn't in the best place. We were really both not in the best place at all, probably the worst I've ever been when we first started dating. And then you'd be like, well, why did you guys stay together? And I had worth enough to know, like, I had the inkling of I knew who we could be. But there was a point in our relationship where I said, I know we could be this as a couple, but if we don't use the tools in front of us and change and put in work, if I keep putting in work and you're not going to put in the work, then we're done, because I'm worth more than that. I know what I want. And that was kind of the turning point, the pinnacle for our relationship. And so then he and I grew together. Along with working out and like my weight loss surgery, I had a partner that encouraged me, but said, I love you no matter what. He said, I want you happy and healthy. And he said, but I just want you to know whatever path you choose, I'm always going to love you unconditionally. But if you do choose to go forward with weight loss surgery, I will be there. I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you every step. If you choose to just keep going in the path you're going, I'm still going to love you, weight up or weight down. So I never felt like there was a value as to who I was physically. He loved my soul and he supported me through it. And then anxiety wise, that started to get better. And I'm going to drop another one of my favorite like podcasters or personalities, but his name's Dr. John Deloney. He's written several books about anxiety. And what it boils down to is anxiety is about your environment. And it's just an alarm going off, letting you know something's wrong. And I already kind of started to figure that out with meditating. When I was sitting in silence, my brain was literally screaming at me that still something was wrong. And once I stopped worrying about everything going on and trying to ignore the alarm, I was able to actually sit down and say, like, oh, this is what it's warning me about. Like, this is why I'm anxious. I used to have panic attacks at my old job, to the point that I call my mom crying and she'd drop off medication to make me feel better. And the way I corrected that, and I just sat and thought back, because I meditated on it one day and it was like, you hate your job. You don't just have anxiety. You hate your job. Your boss is making you miserable. He calls you a liar. He's literally bullying you. Like, and I now, with that new mindset of, it's not doing it to me, it's doing it for me. It was coming to realize that I make these choices in my life. So I'm choosing to remain anxious. I'm choosing to remain to have these anxiety attacks because I'm choosing to stay at this job. And that's when I started looking for a new job. And things just kept getting better from there, because my next job was better than my last one. But it still eventually gave me anxiety again. My alarm went off. And I started having panic attacks again. And then I realized one day I was crying to Jimmy, my husband, about my job and about something that happened that day. And then, because now I self-reflect and I think about, like, oh, why am I anxious? Why am I feeling this way? I started crying because I was so upset with myself that I knew this, because I was crying to him that I kept having panic attacks. And then I started crying because I was almost mad at myself for like abandoning all these things I learned. And I started to be upset because I let it go on longer than it needed to, because I know I'm in full control of my life. So I immediately, that next day, I applied for more jobs. And then I even had a better job, the best job I've ever had. Because anyone who says, well, I have to stay, I'm sorry. For any situation you're in, that's a lie. It's a lie you're telling yourself, and it's an excuse you're telling yourself to make yourself feel better about the situation you're in. That's victim mindset. I'm sure the Amen. Girls are shaking their heads yes right now.
Amen.
So you have full control of what's going on in your life, period. Nothing is official until you die. So I was crying about my job, and then I was crying because I realized that I put myself in that situation longer than I wanted to, so I changed that. And that's how I started to battle my anxiety. Instead of saying I'm an anxious person, I started to look, why am I feeling anxious now? And that's how I make it through this now. Whenever I feel anxiety, is I look at my shadow self and I'm like, okay, well, what's wrong? And I don't blame myself anymore either.
Do you have a name for your shadow self?
I should. I kind of actually... I'll go off on a quick tangent because I find this funny and hopefully it comes out in person. My shadow self, like, there's like two people in my brain. So I call it like my anxiety brain and me. And so I'm always just sitting in like this nice recliner chair, like doing my own thing. And it's myself, like I'm my best self, you know, where I feel my best. And I'm like usually reading a book or something. And then this like troll version of myself, like hunchback and kind of green, and like my hair is all crazy and my nails are like curling, they're so long. She'll like come over the chair and she'll start whispering things. And that's the anxiety. And so she'll whisper like, "Oh, you're just not good enough." So in the job situation, it's just, you suck. Like, you're the problem. You couldn't fix those people's problems. Like, you're not selling enough because you don't know what you're doing. And normal me in the chair, in my most sane mind, will be like, "Oh, shut up. Like, you're wrong. I know what I'm doing. It's not me. I'm fine." But this, like, she'll just keep whispering in my ear until I start to believe it, because she won't go away. So that's how I always imagine my anxiety, is this like troll version of me, and she has like a raspier voice and stuff like that too. And that, I guess that's how I kind of imagine my shadow self too, because my shadow self is the one that likes to convince me of these false things.
Megan, what a book that would be. My Anxiety Brain and Me. Like, I was like, oh, that's a good, wow, that's a good
title. I will give you credit.
Matilda and Me.
Is yours named Matilda?
No. I don't have a name for one, but I've just been recently considering it, looking at it, you know, whether it's your conscious mind, your inner critic, your shadow self, but
finding
a name, like a comical name, like "Shut the fuck up, Nancy," like, what do you know, you know? Like, please, girl, Karen, shut the fuck up and go about your business. I'm all good over here, don't need your 2 cents. You know, just like looking at it from that perspective, however you would, you know, you would say it.
So I
haven't come up with a name, nor have I come up with a name for my next level self. You know, I'm like, I've been considering that for that self-concept, right? We're talking about self-concept right now, and how we put ourselves on the pedestal, make ourselves a priority, but also having that vision of like, that's XYZ Margaret. That Margaret's on fire, right? That Margaret is bam, like, what is it? So like, I've been considering these things just to kind of have them as additional little tools, fun tools that could lift you up a little bit, but also like spark something in you, right? So.
Well, I feel like I'm Megan like 2.0, maybe 3.0 at this point. So she's like Megan 10.0, but it's kind of like right now I'm Megan. But when I think of her, it's like Megan, and like the clouds part and it's gold and she like comes down and she's like shimmering in full glitter. So that's like how I think of my higher self. So
yeah, yeah.
Silver glitter, not gold. I got all that.
Your silver glitter, not gold.
Yeah, I'm silver.
Give me all. I'm like rose gold, gold, silver.
I'm gold, diamond, silver, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, diamonds, yes. This episode is so good. Like, there were so many nuggets and takeaways and like literally just mic drop moments that this is going to be so good for so many people.
Thank you. Well, I guess like, okay, so yeah, I changed all these things, but it's changed my perspective of what my life probably would have been like if I didn't have all these things. So the girls know this, but right after my husband and I got married, I ended up getting pregnant. And we've been together for, it'll be 9 years this year. We've been married a year. So it took us almost 8 years to get married. And the reason for that was because we want to be our best selves. We didn't want to be those people that we were when we first started dating. So we literally told each other, we're not going to get married because we don't want each other's burdens, I guess, to become our own. Because our belief is marriage, you become one. And we're like, well, we have a lot of baggage and shadows and shit to work through. Like, I don't want, you have your own shit going on. So I don't want to like pile onto that. And then it's like a huge mountain. So we pretty much said to each other, we're going to fix that main problem that we feel like causes most of our issues in our life. And that's when we're going to come together and get married. So it took us 8 years to do it. We said, we're going to do this together. And for him, it was, I was bad with money, but he was beyond awful with it. Like $42,000 of consumer debt. This is not a house. This is not student loans. This was just, he spent that money. So that was his problem, was he just thought loans are free, free money. And he kept doing it and kept going, and that anything that was lent to him was free. And he did not want to bring that on into our future. Because we saw once we became one, we were planting our own seed and starting a new family tree. So we wanted to make sure none of those old seeds we didn't like weren't part of that tree anymore. We're going to like make a whole new breed of tree, and it's going to be planted on a whole new plot of land. So that was his thing. And for me, it was my anxiety and eating issues, which, as I mentioned before, they definitely correlated with each other. So they're almost the same issue. And we'll always kind of battle our shadows. Like I said, it's always attached to you, but I feel confidently where I can say no to that gremlin more than before. So I did end up losing all the weight, but I'm using the tools wisely that I know I can keep having success. I'm still down 100 pounds from, my highest. I did gain a little bit from pregnancy, but I'm working on it. And the best thing about doing all this work is it doesn't actually really bother me to the point where I'm anxious and I hate myself. I just say, I got to go backwards and I got to go back to the tools and just do the work again. And it kind of makes it exciting because you're like, oh, I get to do all this again. And that's a whole different mindset than, oh,
I want to share one thing really quick that, it's important because we talk about manifesting and things, putting it out to the universe. Now, one thing that I remember you saying, and I just want to bring this up. So you spoke the words when you were at your highest weight, you were like, you know, if I ever have children, I never want to have a baby at this weight. This is unhealthy. This is not good for me, for my health, for the baby, anything. You're like, I do not want to, like, if we have children, like, I want to make sure that I lose the weight first.
Yep.
And you lost the weight. And guess what happened?
Yeah, I had my doctor's appointment right before our wedding, and they had got to sit down and tell me that I was finally on the, not only was I on the BMI chart, so this is how heavy I was. My number wasn't even on the chart. It was gone. But I was finally at a healthy person, like weight, like a healthy BMI. I was just healthy. I was a healthy adult. And then we got married, we went on our honeymoon, and I came back pregnant. So as soon as I found out that I was a healthy person, I got pregnant.
What were you trying?
Nope.
Was it planned?
Nope. No, she fought her way through a lot. So it was not part of our plan. We had like a 5-year plan, and that's when we planned on doing it. But this is, I guess, a little advice for listeners. When you do this work and you kind of become comfortable with realizing everything happens for you, and that you just have faith in the universe, which is the thing that I found the most helpful with going into the spiritual journey and realizing that I'm 4D and I'm not just here to live here. Like, I have purpose, that everything feels like there's a purpose to it. And then you're not as scared. Like, you just know, like, it's happening for a reason. I'm a full believer of that. So when scary things happen, I'm just like, it's supposed to be happening. There's a reason. And in the future, I'll look back and I'll be like, okay, that happened. Like, even for our wedding vows, at the end of my wedding vows, it was, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. And I 1000% believe in that, because if I did not date those abusive people and went through the really hard relationships that I went to, where I was at my most broken and I hated myself the most, I would have never become the woman I was today, which would have never interested my husband. And we would have never grown even together as a couple. If I didn't do this work, the way our relationship kind of was at the beginning, like who we were as people, we probably would have ended up becoming that toxic couple instead of the opposite. So, because we would have fed off of each other's negative energies and just kind of keep increasing that. So all of it happens for a reason. And so when we dealt with that, we got married and I got pregnant. And the hardest but most beautiful part about this journey is when I got pregnant, wasn't really expecting it, wasn't part of the plan, but I was like, we're just going to roll with the punches. Like, it's supposed to be happening. And then I guess, like, even the slightest tidbit was I even saw my doctor saying, will my birth control work during my honeymoon to make sure that I'll be okay, we can continue with this 5-year plan. And she said, yes. Well, didn't happen because it wasn't supposed to happen. And then once we're like, we're doing this, like, we're super excited for it, I actually thought I miscarried. I was at work one day and I was bleeding everywhere. I was cramping. It was the weekend. I didn't want to go to the ER because I was very early. I was like 6 weeks. I just kind of wanted to wait till I could see my OBGYN and all that. So I spent that whole weekend thinking, oh, I miscarried. Like, here, I was accepting, like, this is what it's supposed to be. And then the way I kind of got through that with normal grief is I, again, had to tell myself, maybe this is just part of my story. Like, and I'll learn one day why this is part of my story, but that's like, it will be fine. Right now, it doesn't feel fine, but it will be fine.
I ended up seeing about this on your podcast.
Eventually, it will be part of one of my stories. Yes.
Okay, so listeners, go give her a follow, and you know, she will be, I'm sure, sharing more her journey.
Yeah. Oddly enough, my next podcast episode is going to be about anxiety, so it will kind of go into this again, but maybe in different details. Turns out I hadn't. It was just called like a threatened miscarriage. Like, sometimes I was one of those lucky ones, and I'm doing air quotes, where you just bleed a lot and you don't know the reasoning. You do got to get it checked out, but it just happens. So then when I, the day after Thanksgiving, after we announced to all of our families that I was pregnant, I had another severe bleed. And so we had to go to the ER the day after Thanksgiving, which is miserable at the ER. And while I was sitting there crying, thinking that this possibly could have been the time, like that was it, my anxiety brain wanted to convince me, like you did this wrong, or like you shouldn't have had that cup of coffee, or you shouldn't have lifted that box, or whatever it was. And I almost went back into the victim mindset of like, why is this happening to me? Like, why me? What did I do to deserve this? And how I got through that was I realized, like, nothing I did would cause me to deserve heartache. It's just part of the journey, and I'll know one day why I would go through this heartache. And it ended up being fine again. I was just put on like strict rest. It turns out that I did lift something too heavy, but nothing enough to end the pregnancy. So she like kind of detached herself from the wall, but then she reattached herself, so it was fine. And then she came, I went into preterm labor at 26 weeks, well, a little bit earlier than that, but I was in the hospital for several days, and I ended up having to deliver her. But the most beautiful part of this spiritual journey is, while my husband was a deer in the headlights, I just kept telling him the whole time, like, it's going to be okay. Like, everything's going to be okay. I meditated a lot, and I felt like I communicated with my daughter a lot, and she just kept saying, like, this is fine. This is just part of my journey. Like, I'm going to be here. Everyone, all the nurses, doctors said, you have such a positive attitude for what you're going through. Because even when they're like, we're going to have to deliver her, like, you're at a lot of risk, but you would have been a lot more risk if you waited. Like, we have to take her out. Like, there could be these things that are going to happen because of her coming so early, but it'll be fine. And I just kept saying, like, it's all happening for a reason. I have faith in the universe. Like, it's going to be fine. We delivered her and she cried right away, which is not normal for a 26 week baby. Most of them go immediately to be ventilated. So the fact that she was breathing on her own, even for a little bit, was incredible. And that was even more confirmation from the universe and her saying, like, it's fine. Like, we're going to be fine. So to have a baby in the NICU for 3 months should have been the hardest situation in my life. Like, it breaks a lot of parents down or relationships. And it didn't. And I give all credits to this journey that I went through, because again, I just kept telling myself, I know everything's going to be fine, no matter what happens, good or bad. In the end, I know I will pass, knowing that there's a reason everything happened. So I just kept relying on that faith and knowing that I'm taken care of. And I kind of passed that information along to any parents I saw or nurses, and the nurses adored us, and we all cried actually leaving. Like, that's kind of weird. Like, why was I sad to like leave the NICU? Because it was a lot to go through and a lot to see over there. But they said they loved us because we just always had a loving and happy personality. And anytime they said like, oh, your daughter's going through this, this could cause this, 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 I never held on to like the what could be's. And I just thought about right now. So when they say, oh, she needs this to get better, I said, you know what you're doing. As being her mother, I just need to be strong for her. Please do what you need to do. And they're like, so you don't really have any questions? And I'm like, I just know everything's going to be okay. And I was like, so yes, like no fights, no nothing. Like just like, I know that she's going to be taken care of. And that's why we had a good relationship with the hospital. We still do. But it's what got me through that. I know if I was who I used to be and had to go through this, that probably would have been it. I don't even know if I would have. I would have been one of two people. I would have never made it to the hospital because I would have been so depressed and blaming myself for everything and laying in bed. Or I would have been that overly anxious parent who never left the hospital and just quit all things of life. And I told myself to be my best version of myself. I still had to take care of myself, because to take care of your children, you need to be the best version of yourself, because then you're not giving them your best. So how is that helpful to them? So I still saw her, but I also still took care of myself when I wasn't with her. And I made that priority. And as a mom, I still make that priority. I still put myself first and then my child, because if I'm not doing my best, it's not best for her. And then she's come out, and it's been great because I've been able to set boundaries to keep her safe, to keep me mentally safe. And I just fill her life with love and happiness. And now I have all these tools that I didn't have growing up, but I can give to her now as a baby. So I like to think about, this is where I'm starting at 30 years old. She's starting with this as a baby. So I can't even imagine what her life is going to be in the end.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You've gotten there. It is so beautiful. I know we've gone, oh, it's 11:11. I know we've gone over a little bit, but this was too good to stop. Like, it was so good. The story, the message, it is so powerful. And there's so much more. Like, we'll have to have you back on and talk about the baby and actually Jimmy, you know, and his and everything like that too. So it was so good. But before we wrap up, just one last thing. Any advice that you could give to the listeners out there?
So it's, I think I'll start with the one that probably maybe you've heard, but I just hope you believe it after hearing my story. You are worth it. You are worth putting in the work and putting yourself first. The next advice would be, and this is coming from someone who still tries to battle with people pleasing, if you are not first priority in anyone else's life, you don't deserve them. But the main thing is, you better be first priority in your own life. And that's where it all starts. Put yourself first, and then you'll be surrounded with people, places, and things that put you first, because you won't accept any less. So start putting yourself first, start taking care of yourself, start doing things that feel good to you. Say yes, say no, whatever feels good to you. Like, live life in a way that you feel happy and you feel good about it.
Oh, Megan, like, I just think about where you were and where you are today. Oh my gosh. Like, now my heart's happy. Now I'm not worried anymore. And now I'm not, you know, I don't have tears. I have tears of joy for what you guys have created as a family, for yourself, that you guys took responsibility and stopped being a victim. You became responsible for your life. You took control and you stopped blaming everybody else for your problems, like I used to do and Margaret used to do. we took ownership and responsibility, and that is so fucking beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. This was amazing. And like Jenny said, we'll have to have you back on because we know there's a lot more to Megan and her journey. But that being said, thanks everyone for tuning in. We so appreciate you. We appreciate you sharing our podcast with all of your friends. And also want to mention that come January 2024, we have our next event, the Dear Future Self Self-Love Experience event. It is local in the Chicagoland area. It's an in-person live event. So if you are ready, if you're ready to take responsibility, if you're ready to fucking like really, really do it, come see us. Because if you're not ready, it's kind of pointless. Like you probably will not get a lot out of it. But if you're ready, we'd love to have you. Jenny will crack you up and make you cry. You know, she'll be kicking your butt in that way, but in a good way. She's in a loving, loving way. We all need to do that, right? That's tuning into our emotions. But yes, thank you, Megan. I'll let Jenny say her goodbyes too.
Make sure you guys go give Megan a follow over there. Her journey is going to be incredible, and we will put it in the notes for you. You'll see it on Megan's story. She's on Instagram and Facebook and all that too, just as we are. And thank you. Like, this was powerful.
Proud of you.
Powerful. Yes, Megan. Girl, so proud of you. And it's like, I'm a proud mama bear. I'm like, yes, she did it. So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story. I know it's always not easy, but your story and every listener out there, we all have a story that could help save or change somebody's life.
Yep.
So do us a favor, share this podcast with someone that you know who may need it, because I know this message will touch them in some way. So we love you all. Thank you so much for being on. And until next time, we love you.
Bye.